Good afternoon, and welcome to the fellowship-wide call, It's Cool to Be Hip, brought to you by the Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons Committee of the Debtors Anonymous World Service Conference. My name is Sarah V., and I'm a compulsive debtor, spender, and under-earner. The purpose of our call today is to reach out to the fellowship at large to offer and receive support in carrying the DA message of recovery to many of those in most need, who are served by hospitals, institutions, and prison facilities in your own cities and neighborhoods, right where you live, right next door to you. We believe that this 12-step work is as vital to us as debtors in recovery as it is for the still suffering who don't even know about our program. We have found the work to be both satisfying and rewarding, both personally and in our own recovery. We'd like to see intergroups and individual meetings or area meetings have an HIP representative position to support carrying the DA message in your area, and we can help you. It may assist you to have the HIP starter kit available during the call, as we will refer to it. It can be found on the debtorsanonymous.org website under Meeting Info, then Resources for Meetings and Groups. I'm going to repeat that. It's on the debtorsanonymous.org website under Meeting Info, then Resources for Meetings and Groups. You'll also find there the Public Information Starter Kit, which is another invaluable resource. For our agenda, several members of the HIP committee will cover the basics of our efforts. We'll clarify what HIP means and why this work is so vital, as well as some personal reasons for our serving on this committee. We will describe who we work with in our outreach efforts. We will give a brief summary of the public information plan and then review suggestions for reaching out. We will show you how to best present DA as well as represent DA, and answer your questions. You can also send questions to us after the call by emailing us at hip@debtorsanonymous.org, and we'll get back to you. The speaker portion of this call is being recorded, and all speakers consent by their participation to having a recording uploaded to the DA website at debtorsanonymous.org/podcast. So the speaker portion of this call will be available on the website. I'm going to suggest that we mute all callers now. And to unmute, please press *6. And I think you also have to press 1. Let's start. Kathleen? Press *6.
You can hear me?
Now hello? I can, yep.
Hi, sorry about that. I know I lost you guys for a bit. Hi, this is Kathleen, and I'm a very grateful member of Debtors Anonymous. And I'm really grateful to be on this call. And I also just want to say thanks because there are some people from my home meeting who are participating on this call and want to know more about it and, you know, possibly go out and help carry the message here. And it's just very moving to me to have that support. So thank you guys for being on the call. So what HIP is, and this is just me, I am not perfect, and I may say something wrong, so, you know, listen for everything else, and you can look it up on the website, but HIP is Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons Committee, and our primary purpose is to carry the message of Debtors Anonymous to the debtor who still suffers in hospitals, institutions, and prisons. And I did not know before I got on this committee that we even had HIP in Debtors Anonymous. I got on it a couple years ago, and I didn't even know that because unlike, you know, I've sat in open AA meetings with friends and I've heard them talk about H&I and past cans and stuff, but I never heard any talk about it in the program. And I was like, what is this? This is amazing to me. And also I just want to say as far as hospitals, institutions, and prisons, the institutions portion can also be like schools, temples, churches, homeless shelters, you know, those fall under institutions as well. So I just thought that was an important distinction that I wasn't aware of either. And why, you know, why I think we need it? I think there, as a debtor, it was a miracle to me to know about DA, and I was fortunate enough to happen to know someone many, many, many years ago, long before I was really debting, long before I had bottomed out, who happened to take me to a meeting because he belonged, and I'm like, I don't even know why he brought me. And I thought it was the most spiritual thing I'd ever seen, but I was like, I don't need it. See you later. And many, many, many years later, when things were very bad for me, I remembered that and I knew of its existence. But many people don't know, and certainly people in hospitals, institutions, and prisons don't know, and they don't even have anyone like accessing them with it. And I just think there's so much going on with this disease. And I love in our 12 and 12, it says, this disease causes me to believe that there is not enough and there will never be enough. And that is so true, that when I get caught up in it, I go into that fear, and I just can't imagine anything worse than being like in a hospital or a prison, you know, or some of the situations with institutions we help, and feeling hopeless and not even knowing that there is this beautiful spiritual 12-step program that helps with the spiritual malady of money. And that it's safe to talk about, and no one's judging you, and you're not your debt, and you're not your bank account, and you're not your paycheck. And how difficult it must be, like, when you get out of one of these places to try and go and earn and not have stigma attached to you and not believe that that's who you are and who you're going to be for the rest of your life, but that you have dignity and grace. And if you can find your way to these rooms, you know that you are not any of those things. So it's a powerful committee to me. And I also, I guess what I wanted to say too is why I serve on this committee. So I went to the conference, I went to my first GSR conference, and I was like, I don't know what committee to be on. You know, I'd never done it before, I didn't know. And I'm like, what should I do? And people said, just go sit in on them and see what you feel. So I went to each of the committee rooms and I sat and I watched and I listened, and then I would go to the next one. And not everyone does that, but I felt like I needed to. And then I was really torn between a couple, and I happened to run into the then chair of the board in the lobby, and I said, can I be on more than one? I'm really torn. And she said, no, you can't, because they would conflict. And I said, well, and she goes, which one needs you more? And it's not, you guys were such a great committee already, but I felt like people didn't even know it existed, and I thought, we definitely can do more with this one. And I went to the HIP committee room again, and I sat there. When I was there, I said, can I ask you why you guys are on this committee? And everyone at the table, or maybe someone else suggested it, I don't know, everyone at the table told why they particularly wanted to be on this committee, and I was almost in tears. It was so beautiful. Like the heartfelt reasons for people serving on this committee that is so important. And I was blown away, and I thought, well, this is my tribe. These are my people. I mean, everyone's committee is wonderful and the conference is beautiful, but this specifically was. So I thought, this is where I have to go. And I mean, since we did that, we implemented the HIP cans being passed in some meetings to give us more funding for literature. We created International HIP Day. We've gone out into our areas and carried the message. And it's really powerful to see something go from an idea and an awareness of a need to actually being the one to physically walk out and do it and see the faces of the people that are affected by it. It's so powerful. And also just another part of the thought was, you know, a lot of my debt was medical too. I didn't have insurance before program, and I had unforeseen injuries and accidents happen, and I was incapacitated for quite a while. And now it's like, oh, I couldn't afford insurance before. That's why I didn't have it. And now I have this monstrous medical bill that is beyond anything I could ever comprehend affording. And it was really just devastating. And so to be able to carry that message to hospitals as well, you know, and let them, let people know that we exist who are struggling with that, because that's a huge amount of debt. is very healing. To be able to go into my community, to the very places where maybe I debted or I caused injury or I saw pain and need, I can actually walk back in there and bring literature or bring a panel, is unbelievably healing to me. And I also just wanted to say another thing. When we were all sharing in the room that day about why people serve on the committee, what came to me was I had a little brother who was this remarkable person, and he became mentally ill, and he was hospitalized.
One minute.
Okay, thank you. He was hospitalized many times, and I spent many times going to hospitals or going to hospital psychiatric wards, and, you know, I got to see a lot of it up close. And just the idea of serving on this committee and perhaps getting a copy of A Currency of Hope or our literature, our 12 and 12, to a hospital psych ward where maybe some debtor came in there thinking that they're worth nothing, their life is over, there's no one they can talk to about it, or maybe they've even attempted suicide or something, to have them somehow find this copy of A Currency of Hope or this literature or have their counselors mention this to them was just, it just felt like the greatest thing I could possibly do on the service level of the World Conference with my time. And so that's what moved me. But it is so incredibly rewarding and fulfilling. And I'm looking forward to going back out with my fellow debtors to, like I said, very places that either helped me or where I caused injury with my inability to be in self-supporting. And it's amazing. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. And now, Yannick, press star 6.
Hi, everyone. I'm Yannick. So grateful to be here today. Grateful member of DA, compulsive everything. I heard somebody said that in meetings. I am a compulsive everything, and that's definitely me. What DA means to me. I think before I start, I just wanted to say for me right now, I've been saying in meetings that I am a DA miracle because even with 4 years in program, I'm still facing financial challenges, whereas 4 years ago when I got in program, I just like felt so hopeless, and I didn't even know where up was, where down was. I didn't know which way to go. So paralyzing fear. And then 4 years later now, still like financial, we're not bottom, but there's this hope in me. There's this like, the other day I was in a meeting, people who knows my financial situation, this lady came up to me. She was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how joyful you are. And that's why I say, when I present myself, I say I'm a DA miracle, because to be that, you know, to be in where I am right now, financial, you know, unstable, and to still have hope, that's program, because I just believe that God helped me out last year with my housing situation, finances, and I believe that with the setback, he's going to do it again, because in the meeting it says keep coming back. That's what I feel like I could give people my strength and give them hope being where I am right now and where I've been, and that's why I really wanted to be, when I've heard, I went to the conference 2 years ago. I've never been in program before. I never went to a conference. Like Kathleen said, I didn't know anything about committees, what caucuses were, just by asking and people giving information on each of the committees and caucuses. And when I heard about HIP, I was like, oh, my goodness, I have to be in that one. I was homeless once. At that time, I was homeless. I just was in the process of having my own house, and I just felt like I can give back. I could help somebody. And I just wanted to contribute. And then right now I'm facing the same challenges again. And whereas people would just leave program in shame, I'm like, no, this is, again, my testimony and being in program, this is what it's about. Just like if an alcoholic stumbled, God forbid, I hope they don't leave program because they stumble. They would just have to keep doing it. So that's, for me, my stumble, my setback. It's to give people hope. And you don't go hiding. You just keep doing it. That's what the program says, keep coming back. So DA saved my life. I mean, I don't even recognize myself. I don't really recognize the person that I am right now. The most important thing I feel like for me personally, I got out of DA is my relationship with my God, which I call Jesus. That's what one of my pastors said, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And that's been the sum of my life right now. It's been amazing. Me not having money financially and me not having like a stable housing, and how blessed in the hope that I have. You looking at me right now, you people will never guess that I'm in that rock bottom because of my the program, the work that I've done. Even though it doesn't show financially, but spiritually, it's so much more important because of like my growth. And I did hear somebody said a year ago, like, yeah, once the spiritual part, I'm like articulating well, but basically once the spiritual part mastered, I don't know if somebody could help me with the right wording, then the material thing will come to fruition. And I think right now I'm on the brink because when I was a little bit history of myself, I was always a tough student growing up. I was, people in my family knows me for being like a good saver. I used to always read all the financial books. Up to like 10 years ago, I had money in like Roth IRA. I had good savings. When I came to LA, I had $40,000 cash in savings. I had checking account. I have, all that savings. You know, I had money. My family knew that I was like a good, I was good with money. But people took advantage of me. I think what happened is when I realized that people like me because I had money, I had no sense of boundary. I couldn't say no. I was a people pleaser. Instead of like telling people no, I thought, whereas my sister, she was always in financial trouble, but she was good at like, smiling and people like her. In my mind, I told myself, you know what, if I don't have money, maybe people will like me just like my sister who doesn't have money. Nope. That was really foolish. I think it's still not. That's the challenging part with me with money. Just like when I have money, I just feel like I had to quickly get rid of it because I don't want people to like me for money. And instead of learning to like boundaries, it's a process that I'm learning. That revelation was revealed like about a year ago with me and money. How like now I feel like money is dirty. Like people will, if I have it, people will abuse me. But it's just like I have to learn to say no and stop being a people pleaser. And with this process I'm going through and seeing, people that I thought I was there for, they're not there for me when I needed them. It's not bitterness, but it's a really a beautiful lesson. Everything right now, my heart is pure. I don't hold any grudges of what's been done to me or what I've done to myself. And again, that's program. It's just like everything is a learning experience. Everything is a lesson learned. That's what I'm learning. To learn from my mistake and not to beat myself up for all my failures. In all my programs, I mean like in at least 4 programs already, and being like I was always a straight A student or like a top 10 student, I feel like I'm on the bottom student in programs. And so like for some reason, shame doesn't grip me. I don't hang myself down because of like my so-called failures or my slips. I'm in a food program, constantly slipping. For 4 years I'm in a program. Today is day one. Again, I slipped today. So what I learned from program, just keep doing it. I have this willingness to keep coming, to keep doing it, to keep showing up. And I just feel like with people, especially in prison and like homelessness, that feel so hopeless. Well, if they hear my story, I just pray that because I haven't really heard my stories told in meetings, and I hope somebody who's listening, or if you know somebody listening that knows, that's like they feel like a failure, they failed in life, and to know that there's hope, there's no such thing. God, people will see you as a failure or hopeless, but God doesn't see it. God is a God of miracle. He said, when people see things as impossible, but he is the God of the impossible. And I really, really believe that. Again, like every day I'm alive is because God is the God of the impossible. So that's why I feel so passionate about this committee especially. And I just pray that somehow, somewhere, someone will be touched and moved by my story. And if they do have a step back in life and to not give up and to trust, as long as they keep moving and they keep doing it, God will help. God will come through. I went to this place today, and then one of the rabbis, I felt like God was telling me that this weekend, basically, like, he's a God. His timing is always perfect. And,
1 minute.
Keep on. Thank you so much. His timing is always perfect. And when the time comes, whatever situation you are, as long as you keep doing the work, he'll come through. And that's what the rabbi basically said today. He said, success is up to God. That's what his quote was. And it is up to us to make the effort. So basically, your effort. You might think, like, even like when I was homeless last year, some of my sponsors were, like, very critical. They thought I wasn't doing enough, but I was going through so much. I didn't really share with people the stuff I was going through emotionally and physically. But God, he saw my little effort, and he still rewarded me. So I just want to, I don't know who you are, where you are, if you're listening, or if you know somebody, just be kind. You don't know where they are. And just let them know about the program. It's just like it's really a spiritual program. I feel really, it's so weird in the midst of this chaos and this unknown that I am in, financial unknown and insecurity, compared to like 10 years ago when I had a full-time job, I had a steady paycheck, I am so much more happy 80% of the time than when I, even now I have really, you could say I have nothing financially, but because of my spirituality and my connection with God, I really do have everything. It's just like, just the other day, I wanted, thank you, I'll close up and just see what God is providing. Just I wanted a shower slipper, and then I just put it in my mind, I wanted it. And basically, just to sum it up, God provided. He's been providing. And that's what this program is about. It's not about material thing. It's really about, like, your connection with God and God showing through in your life, however that is. So thank you so much for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you, Unique, and thank you, Kathleen. And,
thank you. Is it okay to introduce Sienna, or would you do
it? Yep, sure. Go ahead.
Hi, I would like to introduce the chair of this committee, Sienna.
Thank you. I'm Shauna, and I'm recovering in Debtors Anonymous. Who does HIP work with? It's so easy to say, well, we work with hospitals, institutions, and prisons. But when someone says, well, but how do you do that? Where do you go? Who do you talk to? First, hospital systems can include treatment centers, long-term care hospitals, inpatient mental health facilities, assisted living facilities, Veterans Administration, health care centers, advocacy programs. There can be, you can work with chaplains and ministers, student financial aid offices, bankruptcy judges, parole officers, medical billing advocates. Institutions can be homeless shelters, legal aid societies, housing authorities, welfare offices, women's shelters, recovery houses, and prisons, of course, correctional facilities, but detention centers, criminal courts, halfway houses, work release, and transitional programs. So it covers a lot of territory when we're not dealing with individual debtors who come to our meetings. We go out to people that don't even know about DA. And I'm just going to tell you a couple of the ways that I have carried the DA message in this area. Last year, I read the minutes from the year before at the conference how Northern California had contacted the bankruptcy judges and then actually went to their conference so they could reach all of the people that deal in the bankruptcy system. And many of those judges said that they had never heard of DA. And one woman said she had been doing this for 30 years and had no clue that there was Debtors Anonymous. So that was great. And it resonated with me about the bankruptcy courts. The first time, I had a number of friends in the 80s who were diagnosed with AIDS, and some of them died, and then some of them got the new drugs, and they didn't die, but they thought it was going to be a death sentence, so they ran up their credit cards, and they, you know, didn't bother paying their student loans. And then they're continuing to live. In fact, they're still living today, and they were in bad financial situation, and so many of them declared bankruptcy and were sort of, they were at a loss, like, what should we do now? I mean, what do we do? And those that came into DA have worked with me to first start, because I live in Brooklyn, with the Brooklyn bankruptcy judges, and then reaching out to the Manhattan people. I also dealt with the borough president because April is Brooklyn Financial Education Awareness Month. So I talked to the borough president and his aide, and I said, do you know about Debtors Anonymous? And they said, no. They said, well, could you, you know, come and give out some panel advice or some financial advice? Or, and I said, that's not really how it works. It's a 12-step program. It's anonymous. And I want you to know that this is available. So they said, oh, well, can we just come to a meeting? And I explained that the meeting was closed, but that I could find an open meeting for them, and that we would take like a panel to Borough Hall. And I'm setting up a meeting with them because April's coming around again, so we'll be able to reach some people. And I'm also part of the Borough Hall, the Borough President's Women Ministries team, so that they're having a conference, and I will bring DA literature to them. One of our fellows went to prison for embezzlement and fraud. And he had asked me and another fellow to go to the jail and to give him a PRG. And we then started giving him regular PRGs and bringing him literature. And he talked to this was federal prison in New York, talked to them about starting a DA meeting. And after going through various channels, they agreed. So he was holding DA meetings in the federal prison, and I think that's the first we had ever heard of. He also wrote a story about his experience that we submitted to be published in Focus or Ways and Means. And he also was willing to talk to a person that was referred to us who was about to go into prison and needed some advice from a recovering debtor. So this person was willing to talk email and phone with that person. And then we had another person who was part of my home group who was diagnosed with cancer and was in the hospital at Sloan Kettering. And so we would take a meeting to her in hospital. And in fact, she was just here at my house on Friday. We went to get her, bring her to my Halloween party, and she was telling me, just like Kathleen had mentioned, how really important going from her home group in Brooklyn all the way to the Upper East Side, and yet having people hold her in consciousness and support, bringing the program to her, and how much that meant to her. And she is luckily recovering now. Many people on the committee you'll hear from after me, but doing bringing literature to women's county prisons, going to libraries, working with homeless shelters, working with organizations that give temporary aid. There are lots of ways to help, and each person can help by doing very simple things. Somebody from my home group is taking a hip starter kit to the local, it's like community justice center, and to the police precinct, so that they'll know that Debtors Anonymous is a possible agency of support, a fellowship of support for people that never heard of it. So I hope that was helpful, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Shauna. And now we have Marcy to cover the basic summary of public information strategy. Star 6, Marcy.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, thanks.
Great. This is Marcy. I am a recovering debtor and an intergroup service rep from Houston. And I've been on the HIP committee. This will be my third year on the HIP committee. And like Kathleen, I didn't really know at first why I joined, but I was immediately just sort of grabbed by the report of the previous year's HIP committee and knew somehow that I needed to participate in this work. So our goal today, so far we've been giving just some background of the people on the committee and how it works and what kinds of things in general can be done. And now we're going to start talking about actual focusing on strategy and actions specific to public outreach. And Public Information Committee and the HIP Committee are very much related because our goals are similar to do outreach from DA to outside of our program. So the Public Information Committee is a more general manual that we do use and then focus on the specifics of hospitals, institutions, and prisons. So I'm going to give a quick overview of the public information. So the PI committee focuses on contact between the DA program and any public or outside connections, and the committee members are trained and practiced at connecting with non-DA parties to spread the word about DA. Here's the key, without breaking any of the 12 traditions. And that is totally the key to public outreach, because we must always be aware of the 12 traditions and make sure that our communications are totally within the boundaries of the 12 traditions. So in addition to doing this training, I really recommend that anyone who wants to do public outreach should also participate in one of the trainings that the Public Information Committee will be doing. I think they've already done one this year, but they have more on the plan. And I attended a live one at one of the World Services, and it was really great, very helpful. And the phone training is excellent as well. So a lot of the situations that you would encounter in HIP outreach would be pretty much similar to the kinds of things you would encounter in any public outreach. But I'm going to focus on a few that I just want to kind of have in everybody's mind in the beginning. And the first one is a discussion about the difference between attraction and promotion. And the reason we talk about that is because of Tradition 5, which says each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the debtor who still suffers, so hence public outreach. But Tradition 11 says our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. So these are the boundaries within which we must work when we do public outreach, and always consider the traditions of our fellowship. So the main idea here is that the way to participate in public outreach without breaking the traditions is to share our own experience, strength, and hope without promoting the program, but only giving our own experience, strength, and hope that would attract people to come and see for themselves that they might benefit from the program. So instead of advertising, we're just demonstrating what the program has done for us. Another issue that's in the Public Information Manual that I think is really important for us to look at is how to decide where to spread the word. Excuse me. And Shauna addressed that really well in the list of different places that you could go. I like this idea that's in the Public Information Manual. They suggest that you think of your meetings place as the center of like a big circle of spreading the word. And the reason to think of your meeting place and not your home is because it might be more convenient to people who are in that community. Maybe I drive 45 minutes to my meeting. So the people I might meet up here where I live wouldn't be very convenient for them to go to my meeting. But if I do outreach closer to my meeting, that's a good possibility for those prospective DA members. And they suggest that we might take literature or a flyer or a card, a business card from DA, in various locations just anonymously. And I've done things like We have DA business cards that just give the location, our location on the internet, and just a little bit of information about DA. I carry them around in my purse. Sometimes I just leave them in a restroom. I'll leave one in a restroom or put it on a table somewhere as I'm going through someplace. And I don't know what happens to it, but you never know. It could end up in the pocket of a debtor who needs to come to DA. So the public information manual also talks about other ways, in addition to just leaving literature, to contact public professionals or institutions that might be interested in DA. And it lists locations similar to the kinds of places Shauna was describing previously. So that list is available in the public information manual and additionally in the HIP manual. And I believe that in the next HIP, the next DAMS, I think they're going to be actually combined so that all of the suggestions of where to contact public professionals will be all in one place. And just so you know, and somebody else is going to talk about it too, but when you start thinking about making outreach, public outreach, you think you're going to need to call somebody, you're going to need to write a letter or an email to somebody, and it's sort of stressful to think about how am I going to write this letter and all of this. But there's going to be discussion in this training about templates of letters, and we have some in the HIP manual and also the public information manual that you can use and tailor to your particular situation. And then the final way to be a messenger suggested by the PI manual is to be the message through the quality of our own recovery. And that has been a really powerful method for me. I have an action partner, and we say the DA third step prayer almost every day when we meet. And the part that I'm thinking of right now is, may I shine to others as a beacon of your hope and love. And I'm telling you, I don't have to set out to shine because my recovery shines through. It's quite amazing. But I've discovered that I'm perfectly at ease talking to people about Debtors Anonymous and just being able to reveal my own recovery about things that I was so in shame about before I came into this program, and I couldn't talk about any of it to anybody. But now I'm open to talking about it, and somehow that comes across, and I have a lot of conversations with people about Debtors Anonymous. And for example, one thing that just recently happened is I was in a completely different situation, asked to do a performance at an upcoming event that's going to also have information tables for the women who are coming there to benefit from this group. And I said, oh, I'm a member of a 12-step group called Debtors Anonymous. Would you be interested in having an information table there? Oh, yes, they said. We'll be happy to do it. So they're providing the table and chairs. There's no fee to sit there. And our DA group is going to be able to sit and offer information to people who are coming there to get help and also to help other people, especially women who are in need. So this was just a result of my own willingness to open up about my own experience, strength, and hope. And the reason we're doing this training is because our committee is wonderful and we're all taking action, but there are only a few of us. And all of the things that we do can be done by any DA member anywhere in the world, and just multiply the good work that the HIP committee has been doing for these years. So I'm really excited that we're doing this training. I wanted to say that the public information training announcements come out through the e-news. And
1 minute.
Thank you. And will be listed on the DA events page. And so you'll be able to take the PA training as well. And then I really recommend that any time you do any public outreach, even though you've done it a million times before, I recommend reviewing the traditions and reviewing the public information and HIP manual to just keep my head focused on abiding by the traditions of Debtors Anonymous before we do any kind of outreach. Thanks so much, and I pass at this time. Thanks.
Thanks, Marcy. Now we'll have Mike talk about how we do our outreach to hospitals, institutions, and prisons, and some of the suggestions that we have for doing that in the starter kit. Star 6, Mike?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Tech guy having problems unmuting. I'm Mike, I'm a recovering debtor. Wow, what an amazing call. Thank you all for being on this, dialing in. Thanks to the committee and for sharing your experience and context. It really helped me to remember, why this is so important and what we get out of this. And I'm so happy to be sharing this with others who want to go and do this really important critical service for people. I know for my own personal recovery, just even having the awareness that this exists and to be participating in serving this cause is just so important for my recovery, especially, seeing where the most need is for the DA message to be carried. And I think a lot of people said a lot about that. So I'm going to move on to the main topic of my piece of this, which is the hospitals, institutions, and prisons starter kit. So if you have the ability, please follow along. You can either look at it on the website, or you can, the DA website, debtorsanonymous.org, or you can print it out. But I'm just going to go through page by page and tell you a little bit about what I think is important or really helpful about this starter kit. So the starter kit is exactly that. It's you want to get started in carrying the DA message to hospitals, institutions, and prisons. What do you do? Why do you do it? So what we go through in this starter kit is a history of this type of service and the why, who, and how, and some other resources for you. And I'm just going to quickly read the second paragraph on the intro page because I think it's really powerful. So actually, I'm going to read both. So thank you for your interest in carrying the life-saving message of DA into areas of your community where it is most needed. Many members like you have added great joy and depth to their own program by working with debtors who do not have the opportunity to attend regular meetings because they are confined within hospital, institution, and prison systems. The DA World Service Conference Committee for Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons operates in service to our fellowship as a whole according to our guiding spiritual principle that in or out of an institution, every debtor is a person of worth and dignity, deserving of recovery should he or she desire it. In these pages, you will find simple tools and suggestions from those who have experience in HIP service. So I think that says it perfectly. So moving on to page two, the why. Okay, so one of the things it talks about is that this could be us or was us. We could, as you've heard from some of the stories, and if you could think about your own experience, we could be in hospitals, institutions, or prisons. We may have narrowly escaped, or we may have experienced what it's like to be in one, or had family members or friends or other people we know be in hospitals, institutions, and prison in some way related to our compulsive debting and inability to recover from it. So that's a major why. And then, as an extension of that, it would be that, the 12th step of our program talks about reaching out to others in service, and this service here is one of the richest that I've seen and most important. And what else? So this is more than just prisons. There are other institutions, and this And the mission of the HIP committee is to support people who are seeking recovery before, during, and after entering institutions with their debtors anonymous condition. And the other thing is, this goes into are what the actual opportunities for HIP service look like. It includes reaching out to professionals and administrative staff, forming local communities, organizing volunteers from regional VA groups to speak on panels, holding meetings and conducting workshops for debtors and institutional systems, and different types. And I think that's important because you may, like me, want to get involved but not quite know exactly how it looks. So those are some examples. Okay, the history. So there, as you've heard, there have been great successes, but we're just scratching the surface, really. We want to make sure to reach out, especially to underserved areas, and we want to have VA as readily accessible as in these hospitals, institutions, and prisons as other fellowships are. And one specific thing that we'd like to do is set up intergroup with HIP committees and HIP chair people. So page 4 and 5 goes into the who we reach out to. So one thing that it starts off with at first is that this is a specialized type of PI work, and this was alluded to before. What's the difference? The difference is that HIP work often requires special access, and we go into all of, you know, different ways to deal with that later on. So the who is helping professionals and debtors themselves in hospitals, institutions, and prisons. And page 4 and 5 goes through many examples of what that looks like. And just a note on what this, how this pamphlet is organized, it's very easy to read. I know it's 15 pages, but it's very simple and practical, and it has this underpinning of spirituality to keep in mind, to remind us of the fact that our higher power has our backs here and remind us of, you know, the type of spiritual work this is to and weaves in really nicely with the practical, which I think is a great parallel to how DA recovery has worked in my experience, worked best. So page 6 talks about how to find the helping professionals to work with. And so it even has a key list of key search terms, a simplified list: bankruptcy attorneys, criminal attorneys, prisons, state, substance abuse and mental health services, that you just type in that keyword plus your own town or zip or wherever you're trying to look, and click search, and you'll find an infinite number of results. And so one thing it talks about here is you're going to have to endure some frustration. Expect this. This is nothing personal. If you're anything like me, you're a little sensitive, but it's a really good practice to not be so sensitive. Remember that this work can be frustrating, but don't give up and go where it's warm. Keep looking until you find a receptive target, you know, somebody who's into and interested in what you have to say, the message that DA can bring to their institution, and that's going to be your best bet, especially if you're just starting out. If there's a national organization you stumble on that's interested, please reach out to the HIP committee at hip@debtorsanonymous.org, and we can certainly provide all the resources needed to reach out on that larger scale. So page 7, 8, and 9 go into really the nitty-gritty, how to do this, how to reach out. So the best way to do it is to first go through an existing contact. That is the absolute best way. Likely, if you really think hard and talk to people in your network, you will know or be able to find people that you'll be able to reach out to in hospitals, institutions, and prisons. It'll make it that much easier to get started. A lot of them will require background checks. And first thing you want to do is establish contact with administrators, the person in charge of facility programs and activities. And there are scripts here specific to the work, like down to the words you should use. There's two here: getting past the gatekeeper and getting 10 minutes with the professionals. Gatekeepers, you know, they're the administrators, the secretaries, the front desk people, security guards, you know, whatever. This is wording that you can use that's been very effective in getting to the people that are the decision makers who are going to let you in to carry this message. Again, be persistent. Don't be discouraged. It's all part of the game. It can be fun if you think about it that way. And remember, you're doing, you know, the service work for your and you're guided by your higher power, and use all the tools in recovery that you've been practicing for so long. Once they've expressed interest, you can send or drop off some DA literature. And if you're sending an email, you can link to the DA website. Best case is to arrange for an in-person informal presentation on what DA is and what it isn't. And please share your successes and failures with us so we can adjust and learn using that email I mentioned before. Smile through the phone. Remember the why you're doing this, and don't be surprised or affected by the brusqueness. It's just all part of the process. Find out what questions they have. Don't talk the whole time. Just ask them what they know, what their, you know, perceptions are, and you can use their what's on their mind to lead how the conversation goes. Try to close for a brief chat in person or on the phone, and send literature. And there's just a decision tree. Did you get a yes? Did you get a no? Are they close? Are they far? It's all there for you. You just have to show up with the willingness. To prepare for a call or a meeting, you want to read through the PI starter kit and PI handbook. Check back often for the updates. Practice, dress professionally, have materials in front of you. Pray, meditate, smile, trust in your higher power's guidance. So the content, you want to talk about your story, what DA can do to help. Be familiar with the frequently asked questions of DA that are available on the website, all the questions and answers there. And then you want to offer to give a 60 to 90 minute presentation to their staff, which usually entails a panel of 2 to 4 DA members. And from there, you can introduce the fellowship. What are the 12 steps of DA have done for them, each of your panel? What are meetings like? You want to share from personal recovery stories and answer questions.
1 minute.
Okay, thanks. You can also offer up quarterly workshops or a regular DA meeting in their facility if it goes well. If it goes well and you're invited back, talk about logistics, clearances, what else is needed, and remember to thank them and follow up. Very important. Page 10 talks about how to carry the message in HIP settings. The more confident, you'll get more confident as you go along. Remember, it's not the same thing as sharing in your regular DA meetings. You're going to have to do some explanation, explaining anonymity and service, bringing readings, DA signposts, 15 diagnostic questions. You want to invite questions and promote curiosity and leave some information to be discovered through interaction. You don't want to orate or give a lecture like I'm doing now. You want to keep it brief and simple. You want to be vulnerable. Keep an emphasis on broad spiritual principles rather than specific religious concepts. Be a model of successful recovery. Show it as well as telling it. Be flexible and let HP be in charge. And again, follow up with thank you notes, phone calls, or emails. You can also use a workshop format, which has a bit of a different scenario where there's an intro up top and then breakout sessions afterwards if that's more conducive to the institution you're in. Page 14 talks about what else you can do, and it talks about the Adopt a Loner program. If you want to start slow, you want to help, but you want to start slow, so, okay, I'll just wrap up. You can help with one-on-one support for people in a geographic area that's far from face-to-face meetings, answer questions, correspond with them via a message of recovery one-on-one. So that's something you can do, info on page 14. And then the last page, other resources that are available for HIP service. You can share and collaborate with PI, and remembering that it's so important that we work hand in glove with them. Read the PI starter kit, the PI handbook, subscribe to e-news, and always provide feedback to HIP and PI so that we can continue to hone our approach and be as effective as possible. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Can you now stop the recording?
Yes.
Star 9, thanks.